and this is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the 1st of May 2015. Hello and welcome to the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle for the week ending the 1st of May 2015. And this week, these extracts have been edited by Bill Argles and Irene Dowding. And your readers today are Shirley Parnell.
Hello.
Noel Thorpe Tracy.
Hello.
And Jane Harding.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Roy Faithful. Now, the main headlines this week are Pressure Rises Over Silver Hill, Scout Volunteer 32 Sped Prison for Molesting Boy, and Nursing Home in Court Over Felling of Projected Tree. So, may we now have the story behind the first headline, Shirley.
Pressure rises over Silver Hill. Pressure is mounting on the developer behind the Silver Hill scheme to prove how they can afford to revive an old version of the project amid fears it has breached trust with Winchester City Council. TIAA Henderson Real Estate is working to reactivate plans approved in 2009, including a bus station and affordable housing. Councillor Kim Gottlieb, the anti-Silver Hill campaigner, has threatened further legal action if the project becomes unconditional, taking it out of civic control before an independent review into council decision-making is completed. In order to proceed with the 2009 scheme, Henderson must prove to the council that it's financially viable, something company chiefs denied until recently. Their revised plans, submitted on the basis the old 2009 scheme was unviable, were quashed by the High Court in February. Councillor Martin Todd said yesterday, if it turns out that one of the previous viability calculations was inaccurate and misleading, that's a very serious matter. What that would say is that they lied to us, which is a fairly big deal. If this is the case, he said, the council should review the contract to see what constitutes a breach of trust and impose sanctions if necessary. He added, we need to understand what dimensions they have changed and on what basis they have changed them to ensure that the numbers are robust and they're not in the business of just making up numbers and hoping we don't blink. Henderson's hopes of saving its revised scheme were struck a blow last week as the Court of Appeal refused leave to appeal the High Court ruling. The firm will take the case to an oral hearing. A Henderson spokesman said yesterday, we cannot anticipate the outcome of our appeal and will review the position once this is known. In the meantime, we will continue to operate in accordance with the terms and conditions of the development agreement, which we are happy to do.
And the second story behind the headlines, please, Noel.
Yes, Scout Volunteer 32 spared prison for molesting boy. A Hampshire Scout volunteer who molested a boy has been spared being sent to jail despite a breach of trust. Timothy Waterman, 32, was handed a 16-month prison sentence, suspended for 2 years, and an extensive supervision order for sexually assaulting a child and possession of child porn. Judge Richard Parks, QC at Winchester Crown Court, said his offences were a breach of trust, but he was willing to give him a chance to start again. The judge added, I don't know how the victim is now, and I hope he hasn't been damaged in some way. It's very fortunate that you didn't go further than you did. Waterman, who volunteered with King Sombon's Scout Group, admitted 2 counts of sexually assaulting a child under 13 between January 1, 2010 and January 1, 2013. He also admitted 21 charges of making indecent photos of a child between January 1, 2011 and May 25, 2013. The court on Monday heard the photos related to videos ranging from just a few seconds to 48 minutes in length. Waterman was ordered to sign the sex offenders register for 10 years. In addition, he was handed a sex offender's prevention order to last 10 years, an order to attend up to 84 sessions. He was also sentenced to 200 hours community service and ordered to pay £250 in court costs and a £100 victim surcharge. He also cannot engage with a child unless unavoidable or with permission from the parent. Mitigating, Karen Dempsey claimed Waterman displayed sexual inexperience and a lack of maturity. He says he feels disgusted with himself. He's really struggled with being in this position. He's motivated to understand why he committed these offences to prevent a relapse. He's a man who can be worked with. Referring to the pornography, Judge Parks said, "As far as the images are concerned, it's the demand from people like you that creates a market. And one sees just how appalling these images are, of the damage which must have been done for these images to be made at all. The children who feature in these videos will have been traumatised for the rest of their days. You're a man of good character, I accept that. My concern in this case is to protect the public, to protect children, and to help you that you never offend in this way again, because it's the best way to protect children." In a statement from its head office, the Scout said, "The Scout Association is aware of court proceedings involving Timothy Waterman. The Scout Association condemns the actions of Waterman." And this is accompanied by a picture of the young man looking suitably penitent.
Let's have the third headline story, please, Jane.
And that is nursing home in court over felling of protected tree. A Winchester nursing home and its contractor have been convicted of illegally chopping down a protected tree. The pine tree was unlawfully cut down in St Catherine's View Home in Stanmore. The City Council took action against Colton Care and Andrew Gates Limited for the breach of the tree preservation order in May 2014. Andrew Gates Limited pleaded guilty to cutting down a pine tree in contravention of the Town and Country Planning Act 1990, while Colton Care admitted causing or permitting the cutting down of the tree. Both defendants had initially denied the allegation, but changed their plea at Basingstoke Magistrates Court. They had both also faced 8 other similar charges, but these were dropped due to a lack of evidence. Andrew Gates Limited, based at Station Road, New Milton, received a 6-month conditional discharge and was ordered to pay £450 costs. Colton Care was handed an absolute discharge and told to pay £450 costs. A City Council spokesman said it wanted to send a clear message that action will be taken if TPOs are breached in the Winchester district. In a statement, Colton Care Chief Executive Mark Aitchison said, "We removed the tree purely to avoid danger to our residents and staff. Expert independent advice showed that it was dead or dying. The magistrate agreed the removal was genuinely for safety reasons and there was absolutely no malicious intent. We accept that the formal paperwork to notify the council was not supplied on the required date. That was due to an administrative error. Residents continue to enjoy grounds to the rear of the home with 18 other pine trees."
And that concludes our headline stories. And now we're going to continue with death notices, then Christian comment, followed by letters to the editor, your say, historical items, Belgarum diary, first person and editorial comment. And I'll start with the death notices. Barham, Nick Barham, peacefully at home, aged 63. Berner, Mickey Berner, aged 57. Blackburn, Edith Blackburn, peacefully aged 99. Burgess, Alastair Burgess of Twyford, aged 64. Cunningham, Robert Bob Cunningham, in hospital, aged 79. Goebel, John Goebel, peacefully. Harding, Christopher William Harding, peacefully aged 81. Hawler, Dorothy Muriel Hawler, peacefully aged 101. Lane, John Robert Lane, aged 84. Langdon Mudge, Jeremy Langdon Mudge, peacefully at home. McCree, Muriel McCree, peacefully in Winchester Hospital, aged 92. Miles, George Edward Miles, peacefully aged 92. North, Lily May Lynn Nay Jones North, peacefully after a short illness, aged 72. Rowe, Eileen Mary, née Pragnell Rowe. Tugwell, Keith Tugwell, peacefully in his sleep at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, aged 72. Unsworth, Michael Edward Ted Unsworth, peacefully at home, aged 86. Wooldridge, Reginald Arthur Wooldridge, at South Haven Lodge, aged 81. And finally, Wyatt, John Wyatt, peacefully aged 83. Now we're on to Christian comment, read by Shirley.
Right. It's headed, Collaboration is the Way Forward. And it's written by Roland Ream. The Stanmore Community Association set up an excellent event last week, Stand Up for Stanmore. It brought people together interested in community engagement to puzzle about how best to help the area. Those who attended were helped by two inspiring presentations about time banks, where people swap time and skills rather than money, and community gardening. We were not there just to listen. The heart of the programme was an opportunity to generate ideas. Each of the tables at which we were sitting had to wrestle to find new ways to engage in an area where, sadly, there is no longer a pub or GP surgery, and where very few local people have stepped forward as volunteers. We did our best, and the ideas which we came up with hung roughly together. Why not develop social networking using Facebook and use it to grow networks and promote pop-up events? And why not have a multi-purpose space which people come to think of as a shared and safe space where basic wants and needs can be met? The community leaders who were present explained the current use of Facebook and the Carroll Centre. It was good that no less than three prospective MPs attended to listen to the issues and make a contribution, along with representatives from the city and county councils. As we struggled together with the issues, listening carefully and venturing our views, I wondered how it would be if we could move away from party politics towards more round-the-table processes. In the last days before a general election, each party will try to maximise the difference between itself and the others, but I doubt whether places like Stanmore will benefit from people pulling in different directions. As it happens, we did have to vote for our favourite idea coming from the discussion, but this was to give us time to develop one idea as a priority. So much of what we need to do to achieve the common good involves collaboration rather than competition. Competing visions inevitably result in competing priorities, and yet collaboration with others of different views and energies is usually the only way to achieve a real outcome. A hung parliament, still predicted after weeks of campaigning, may fill the parties with dread, but it may leave politicians, along with the rest of us, more focused on how we can crack problems together.
Now we'll continue with the letters to the editor. If you wish to contact the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by telephoning 01962 860 838 836. That's 01962 860 836. Or you can send an email to news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or there's even the old writing way, to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, S0238AL. There are 9 letters this week, and we'll start with one read by Noel.
Yes, Judith Martin writes, Silverhill is sustainable site for housing. Sir, Steve Bryan has apparently discovered a new medical paradox. Tenants in social or affordable housing have more acute hearing. Chronicle, April 16th. How else can one account for the fact that he believes that only they, and not the private owners, will be kept awake in Silverhill by night-time noise? Or does he want there to be no housing in the centre at all, only more shops with empty space above? More seriously, he makes his statement that Silverhill is not the best place for affordable housing in the wake of the extraordinary proposal that councils should be obliged to sell their most expensive stock in order to pay for the homes to be built to replace those sold under the new right to buy to housing association tenants. David Cameron has promised those homes sold will be replaced on a one-for-one basis in the same area. This defies logic, in much the same way as Brine's remarks about noise. Homes to be sold are the most valuable, which by definition will be generally in the most expensive areas. How on earth does the party propose that they should be replaced in those areas? Leave aside the fact that since the Conservatives relaunched Right to Buy for council properties in 2012, with a promise of one-for-one replacement, less than one in ten has actually been replaced. The only way councils or housing associations can afford to build these days is on land already publicly owned. The land at Silverhill has been acquired for the purpose, among other things, of building affordable and social housing. The City Council already owns the land, or, if the money is not actually exchanged hands, at least has the right to acquire it at a price that has been agreed after the legal process that was the compulsory order purchase. It follows, then, that this is somewhere they could actually build. As Jackie Porter points out, it is also the most sustainable place. Steve Brine should be ashamed of being called out by UKIP's Martin Lyon, who is absolutely right on this matter. Judith Martin, Romsey Road, Winchester.
And Peter Hargreaves also writes, MP sits on fence over major issues. Sir, further to David Owen Wintersgill's exceptionally informative report, Chronicle April the 23rd, on Winchester MP Steve Brine's voting record in Parliament, which provides constituents with a totally different picture to what he trots out in his Hampshire Chronicle Westminster column and his election leaflets. It is also a fact that during his five-year term, he has sat on the fence on every major issue concerning his Winchester and Chandler's Four constituency. His total silence on the massive financial cuts by Conservative Hampshire County Council and Winchester City Council, on support for Winchester's elderly living in sheltered housing, and denying them vital support in the winter of their lives, is a disgrace on him and his party. Other issues, such as the relocation of the leisure centre, Silver Hill and Chesil Street car park, are just a few to mention. Steve Brine's background prior to being elected MP was in the media and Conservative Central Office, and he uses his media experience extensively to promote his lack of experience in public life. The US President and David Cameron keep their children out of the press even at election times, but Steve Brine continually uses his family and his dog in the mistaken belief it will win him votes. He must be the most publicised MP in Parliament, grabbing a seat behind the Prime Minister at Prime Minister question time to catch the cameras focusing on the PM. But however good his media antics may be, he may well discover you can't fool the people all the time. And that was Peter Hargreaves, Worthy Lane, Winchester.
Trains working for the big society. And this is written by Christopher Gordon. Sir, well done, Southwest Trains, for arranging weekend travel disruption from Winchester on the three successive weekends immediately prior to polling day. John Major's resurrection last week, for electoral purposes notwithstanding, we've had a timely and vivid local reminder of the continuing shambles he initiated in 1993 with his botched rail privatisation. So far as public transport is concerned, the David Cameron Party of Working People appears only to consider a certain type of worker who commutes to London on weekdays. Meanwhile, the perilous future of Winchester's bus station is in the hands of the Stagecoach Southwest Trains near Monopoly pair, who are major donors to the Scottish National Party. Isn't competition working brilliantly in favour of localism and family friendliness? Call it the big society. Christopher Gordon, Corns Close, Winchester.
And here's a nice antidote to all the serious politics and planning issues. Memories of wet room at fire station, says Christopher Beaumont. Sir, I had to smile when I saw the Belgarum item in Chronicle April 23rd on the demolished fire station. Some 63 years ago, my maternal grandmother, Amy Marston of Cromwell Road, Stanmore, was the cook for the firemen at this building. Excuse me. I had been staying with her whilst my mother had just given birth to my sister in North London. Well, at age 2.5, she took me to work one day. I had been put to sleep on a fireman's daybed whilst Nana was working in the kitchen. It's now a family joke, and I smile every time I pass this corner, as apparently I wet the bed here in what was the first floor corner room. It would be fascinating to know if the architectural plans for that particular space is destined to become a 21st century wet room, or at least an ensuite bathroom. Christopher Beaumont, Elmgrove Place, Salisbury.
And Peter Clark writes, picture of Olivier first in local history book. Sir, I must take issue with your comment that a recently found photograph of Laurence Olivier at Worthydown has never been published before. Chronicle, April the 16th. It is, in fact, reproduced in my local history book, Diva and Down, published in 2011 in a chapter devoted to the history of Worthydown. My book covers the evolution of the communities in and around the valley of the River Diva from prehistoric times to the present day. The book is on sale, price £14.95, at the Belgarum stores on Worthydown Camp and at the village stores in South Wunston and Sutton Scotney. And that was from Peter Clark, Churchyard Cottages, Alsford.
And now from Councillor Ian Tate, headed No Specific Opinion on Top Field Plans. Sir, I write in response to a letter published on April the 9th from Mr. Evans regarding affordable housing in Kingsworthy, and must make it clear that I don't have a specific opinion about the Top Field location. The point I was trying to make at Cabinet was that we ought not to discount sites until they have been robustly assessed. Mr. Evans goes on to state that 17% of Kingsworthy's housing is affordable. However, I would mention that our current policies require new developments to provide 40%, and on that basis, Kingsworthy is well below this figure, as, of course, is the rest of the district. I voted for the Barton Farm development specifically because it will deliver 40% affordable housing. As I have stated many times, Winchester has a chronic shortage of affordable housing, and we need to be much bolder and braver in our approach if we are ever going to resolve the problem. Winchester covers 240 square miles, so it will seldom be the case that a councillor will live that close to where a development is being considered. But I don't believe that this means one cannot express a view. Mr. Evans concludes by suggesting that I should focus on my own ward. Well, I hope that is just what I do. And, for the record, 18 new affordable homes are about to be completed near the university and what was previously open space. A development I was instrumental in bringing forward, so hopefully an example of me practising what I preach. In conclusion, yes, it is essential that the views of residents are taken into account, but it has to be a balance between the wider public good and protecting local interests. Councillor Ian Tate, Berwick Road, Winchester.
And here's a complicated one from Bob Whitmarch. I hope you can follow it. Oil resources and reserves confused. Sirs, Chris Yandell's feature article, Chronicle April 23rd, on a potential oil field under Hampshire should be read with caution. He confuses resources with reserves. Resources are estimates of what might be there. Reserves are estimates of what is technically and economically recoverable. Typically, resource estimates far exceed reserve estimates. UK Oil and Gas, UKOG, mentioned a resource of up to 100 billion barrels of oil in their announcement, and not reserves. The UKOG estimates seem to be largely based on a single deep borehole less than a foot in diameter in a 55-square-mile licensed area in a potential oil-bearing area of 1,100 square miles. Whatever the results from the borehole, extrapolating from them miles outside UK's licensed area is risky, to say the least. Confusion was compounded in the article by the comment from Friends of the Earth about shale oil and shale gas, and later by mention of fracking. The UKOG announcement implies that most of the find is conventional oil. No mention is made of shale oil. Conventional oil reserves usually require limited fracking, if at all. Lastly, Hampshire Chamber of Commerce may have salivated at the thought of the business in prospect from a potential oil boom. Sadly for them, and for all of us, the real cost to society and the world of extracting and burning yet more oil would be huge because of the greenhouse gas emissions that would be involved. Scientists recently showed that to have a 50-50 chance of avoiding global warming of more than 2% centigrade, one-third of all oil reserves worldwide must stay in the ground. As David Cameron, Nick Clegg and Ed Miliband recently said in a joint statement, climate change is one of the most serious threats facing the world today. Exploiting more oil would only exacerbate that threat. Bob Whitmarsh, Berwick Avenue, Winchester.
And Pam Morgan writes, in agreement over undercover market. Sir, I quite agree with Shirley Leslie, Chronicle Letters, April 23rd, that the entire market would be better sited undercover. The Brooks Centre would be perfect. Winchester has been completely spoilt by the market stalls on the high street, be they food stalls or general merchandise. The food smells permeating the stores is unacceptable. Speaking to staff working in the stores, I understand that the stores have complained to the City Council with zero effect. I cannot understand why the Council has allowed this to happen, except perhaps to gain rent from the stallholders. I happened to be in Winchester on Tuesday last week, and it was so pleasant to walk down the uncluttered high street totally free of these stalls. And that was from Pam Morgan, St Cross Road, Winchester.
And this one from Dr. Peter Featherstone, headed Need Traffic Calming Before Lives Are Lost. Sir, a few months ago I wrote a letter to the head of the council's highways department and copied it to the head of Hampshire Police. In the letter, I pointed out that there had been at least seven very serious accidents on the stretch of road between Wickham and Shedfield, and asked whether some traffic calming could be considered. I received a reply from one of the staff of the head of the Highways Department saying that they would look into it, but no reply from the police. Since then, there have been at least two very serious accidents. Cars written off, people injured, but no action on traffic calming. It's a depressing thought that we may need someone to lose their life before the money will be found to take some preventive action. Dr. Peter Featherstone, Lake Road, Curdridge.
And that was the last of our letters to the editor. Thank you very much to the contributors. And now it's time for your say. Passers-by in the Winchester area were asked, how important is the birth of the new royal baby to you? Noel has the answers.
Yes, I've got four answers to that. Lucy Robbins, 29, shop supervisor of Sarum Road, Winchester, said, not very, doesn't affect my life. Does it really affect people's lives? The birth of a royal baby? And Beth Wharton, 22, accounts ledger of Ringlet Way, Winnall, said, it's not massively important to me, but I suppose it has quite a big impact. I think it'll have an impact on my life later, though. And Ben Healy, 18, sales assistant of Old Kennels Lane Oliver's Battery, said, I'm not really too bothered, but it's good we're carrying on the tradition of the royal family, and we're not trying to get rid of it like other countries. It makes you proud to be British. And Brenda Taylor, 78, retired of St. Peter Street, Winchester, said, I love William and Kate, and I'd like to see them as king and queen, so it's very important to me. It could be any moment now. I hope it's a little girl.
And now we're going back through the mists of time into our dusty files to have some historical items, and we'll start with 25 years ago, read by Jane.
And 25 years ago was May the 4th, 1990. Root condemned by Paddy Ashdown is the first one. The decision to route the M3 east of St Catherine's Hill was condemned by the leader of the Social and Liberal Democrats, Mr Paddy Ashdown, on Tuesday. Standing on Twyford flyover, with cars and lorries roaring past beneath, he declared, This is a major national issue. I think this is Chris Patten's key environmental test. Are the Conservatives going to mean more than rhetoric? All the evidence is that Chris Patten has failed the test comprehensively. Lower costs in money terms is paid in higher costs in environmental and human terms. And the second item was Hampshire's first new railway station for 24 years in the borough of Eastleigh at Hedge End will be opened next Wednesday, May the 9th, in front of guests including the Secretary of State for Transport, Mr Cecil Parkinson. The new station, the first in the county since 1966, will be opened by Eastleigh's Mayor, Mr Edwin Perry, and the new British Rail Chairman, Mr Bob Reid, watched by about 100 schoolchildren and special guests.
Now Shirley is going to take us back another 50 years.
Yes, 50 years ago, May the 1st, 1965. And this is in two sections, this report. Narrow escape for elderly couple. An 86-year-old Winchester woman escaped injury by a few minutes on Saturday of last week as she was about to go to the bay window of her house in Romsey Road. Mrs. M.A. Gay and her companion, Miss E.M. Clements, saw a car crash into the window, scattering bricks and glass into the room. There was a special reason for her going to the bay window on Saturday, because it was her 86th birthday and she was about to open her cards. The two occupants of the car, Mr. Frank Escors, 28, and Mr. Octavius Duaney, 25, were slightly injured. And the second part of this, Winchester has seen many changes in its long history, and in nearly every part of the city, new building and frequent changes of ownership are everyday occurrences. One of the relatively untouched areas so far is the square, and among the premises that have seen least change, those of Mr. Edward Talkley, are the sports depot at number 23. Now, after 70 years of business in the same premises, Mr. Chalkley has decided to retire. Throughout the last years of the 19th century until today, Chalkley's, with its large fish sign hanging outside the corner door, has attracted hundreds of Wickhamists and Wintonians in search of the ideal fly or rod.
Now, it's going to take us back 100 years.
Yes, May the 1st, 1915. The first item is headlined, Prisoners Due to Arrive in Winchester. Winchester. A large number of German prisoners of war, probably about 400, are due to arrive at Winchester a fortnight hence and will proceed to an internment camp at Pitts, just beyond the isolation hospital on the main Alsford Road and almost midway between the road and Avington Village. At first, it was rumoured that 1,000 Germans were to be placed there, but we learn that the number will not exceed 400. About 200 engineers are at present at Pitts engaged in the erection of barbed wire entanglements which will surround the camp. And the second item, with hindsight, is rather poignant, from Bishop's Waltham. Mr. and Mrs. W. Smith of the High Street have had a very cheering letter from their son, Private H. Smith of the First Hants, from somewhere in France. He mentions that he has met there with H. Lacey, J. Grace and B. Conduct, all of this place, who belong to the same regiment. They were billeted in a farmhouse and are looked after very well, and at the time of writing had just returned from a routine march. It seems scarcely possible that 5 months ago this young lad was working as a paper boy, delivering papers in Bishop's Waltham and Swanmore.
And Jane, it's 200 years ago.
And 200 years ago was May the 1st, 1815. Proclamation published. A most spirited proclamation has been published by the King of Prussia, dated Vienna, April the 7th. It is a most powerful and energetic appeal to his subjects, and in effect a declaration of war against Bonaparte. It eulogises the unanimity and emulation evinced by all classes during the late war, and states that a perfidious conspiracy having brought back to France the man who for 10 years past has overwhelmed the world with unutterable miseries, all Europe has again combined to overthrow the ambitious designs of the usurper. And secondly, in the provinces between the Elbe and the Weser, volunteers hasten in crowds, brother with brother and father with son, to march against him whom they consider the disturber of the repose of Europe. The German women, who in the late war exchanged their rings of gold for iron and displayed the most interesting examples of patriotism, have once more overcome the natural timidity of their sex, and even ladies of rank have offered their services to attend the hospitals for the sick and wounded soldiers. Even the French papers admit that the enthusiasm is at the highest pitch in Prussia.
Back to the present, and it's an alternative look at the news with Belgorum Diary, read by Shirley.
Right, and it's headed, Here Today, Gone Tomorrow. And with this, there's a rather nice colour picture of Jeremy France with his daughter Harriet, and she's having this wonderful long hair cut off for a good cause, no doubt. It says here, a Winchester shop worker is set to have her hair chopped off to make wigs for 6 children. Harriet France, who works at Jeremy France Jewellers in the High Street, has called on celebrity hairdresser Guy Cremer to cut her hair into a pixie crop in aid of the Little Princess Trust. The charity makes real hair wigs for children across the UK and Ireland who have lost their own to cancer treatment. Miss France, daughter of shop owner Jeremy France, said she had been off work with illness for 5 months and wanted something positive to come from her situation. I'm feeling much more positive and got to thinking about all the people out there who aren't so lucky and are still suffering, she said. One of the side effects of my cure was a massively increased intake of vitamin D, resulting in accelerated hair growth. It seemed almost silly to waste this opportunity of having longer hair, and I've decided to donate my luscious locks. Miss France faces the big chop tonight, which would have been last night, I think. Mr. France said he will donate £350. And the second part of Belgarum, which we have here, is headed, Parliamentary Candidates Are Lost for Words. We often criticise our politicians for avoiding questions, but some lines of inquiry are simply too strange to countenance. So it was at an election hustings in Chandler's Ford last Wednesday night, where Q&A Chair Adrian Nance left our parliamentary hopefuls lost for words. He asked, in a free vote as an MP in Parliament, in the choice between the beheading of Christians in Libya and accepting immigrants in North Africa, how would you vote and why? Bemused looks were shared on stage. All were silent in the stalls. until one man from the back rows shouted, "What a stupid question!" The compere sheepishly asked the audience whether they wanted the issue answered. In impressive unity, they answered a resounding no. The candidates were equally glad to be spared the navigation of that moral maze, though Belgrarum admired Conservative candidate Steve Brine's pragmatism as he volunteered to start a debate on the role of Christianity. Mr. Nance, who wrote his cues by aggregating pre-submitted voters' questions, told Belgrarum after the meeting that he was trying to bring immigration debate up to date with recent events.
And next we've got editorial comment, and it's read by Noel.
Yes, the headline is "Council Leader Has a Job on His Hands." Frank Pearson took over as the leader of Winchester City Council in February, aiming to restore faith in local politics. The story on the front page of today's Chronicle shows he has a job on his hands. TIAA Henderson Real Estate is working on reactivating the Silver Hill scheme from 2009, which included a bus station and affordable housing. This is despite repeatedly saying that the scheme was unviable. Henderson's public credibility is on the line. It appears to be rushing through a scheme before the independent review by Claire Lloyd-Jones has a chance to report on the council's unlawful procurement actions that resulted in success for Kim Gottlieb's High Court challenge. For the council to allow this Henderson manoeuvre would effectively mean a colossal waste of money and the undermining of the purpose of the review. The public would rightly be furious. Henderson should explain how the 2009 scheme can have been unviable last year, but is not now. It raises questions about what the developer has told the council in the past. Part of the problem in all this is the British curse of excessive secrecy. The terms and conditions of the development agreement between the council and Henderson is withheld on the grounds of commercial confidentiality. Is the public good currently served by this secrecy?
Now, it's a personal view this week, and it's by Joanna Lewis, and it's read by Jane.
And Joanna Lewis writes, "If something sounds too good to be true, then it usually is." Last week, the Chronicle reported that the City Council has said it will make no changes to the development agreement of Silver Hill until Claire Lloyd-Jones produces her report into the handling of the £165 million scheme devised by the global property investment group TIAA Henderson. This is about as reassuring for the future as an ISIS recruitment video. Sure, it would be great to find out exactly what's been going wrong all these years with the Silver Hill plans, but will this report expose what really went on behind closed doors? Will it reveal what's in confidential Guildhall papers? And why spend £200,000 on a so-called independent review when the judge in the High Court ruling found the council acted unlawfully? A quick reading of the judgment tells you all you need to know. It's not difficult. Councils who sell off their land, i.e. ours, are meant to go out to tender. They did not. Likewise, the review's terms of reference are worryingly vague. To whom is Lloyd-Jones accountable? The public? The Secretary of State for local government and communities? Alas, no. It'll be the same old lot caught up in whatever went wrong originally. Moreover, the local government association, who suggested Lloyd-Jones, are known as the Council's Trade Union. How independent can it be? Alas, the review process appears as directionless and pointless as an upside-down sperm doing backstroke. And why impose a deadline for submissions for April the 30th? Could this be to limit the opportunity for the public to make a submission? Unfortunately, this review looks like a whitewash to groom Wintonians into accepting the Henderson Death Star. Are our council leaders living in a parallel universe? They carry on as if the High Court ruling and the rejection of Henderson's subsequent appeal is like dark matter. They know it exists, but they have never seen it. Meanwhile, Henderson clearly feel they can do what they like. Despite their record of changing plans to maximise profits for their shareholders, Our council is determined to stay in bed with them. Beam me up, Scotty. Can their standards for corporate behaviour and good faith be that low? Certainly their standards for the architectural legacy, beauty and heritage vibe for Winchester remain rock bottom. We are still living under the threat of plans which could destroy the vibrant High Street, the oldest in Europe, damage the complex underground waterways that help drain the city, and impose such a hideous, cheap and monolithic design, it will make the Brooks Shopping Centre look like the Sistine Chapel. Yet, dynamic local plans are all around. Dr. Alice Langlands at Winchester University has suggested the underground Brooks and Roman remains should be uncovered. Many residents would like a permanent market for local traders. Quality, affordable houses are a no-brainer. As my grandfather would have said, if something sounds too good to be true, then it usually is. And he wouldn't have charged £200,000.
We've now got a message from our chairman, John Richards. We'd like to remind our listeners that the annual general meeting of the Winchester Talking newspaper will take place on Tuesday the 5th of May at 2 o'clock at Littleton Millennium Memorial Village Hall. This AGM will also be a celebration of our 25th anniversary as an organisation, so there'll be tea and cake following the formal proceedings. This will be a great opportunity to meet up with some of the volunteers from Winchester Talking Newspapers. These are the people who edit, read and prepare your weekly recordings. We have a guest speaker, Simon Parsons from British Wireless for the Blind Fund. We would be delighted to see you at the meeting. Now, if you can let John know if you intend attending, I've got his email address, which is jprich@tiscali.co.uk, or his telephone number, which is 02380 732 888. Now let's look at what's on. Well, in 2 weeks' time at the Chesil Theatre, we're going to have Quartet by Ronald Harwood. This is a heartwarming comedy about four retired opera singers who live in the same retirement home. It should be a very heartwarming experience to watch this. And it starts on Saturday the 16th of May and it goes through to Friday the 23rd of May, except Sunday the 17th of May when there's no performance. The evening performances are at 7:45 and there is a matinee on the 23rd of May at 2:30. The first performance is £10, and afterwards each performance is £12, or you can get £10 if you are a concessionary person. For further information, please visit their website, www.chesiltheatre.org.uk, or you could do like I did, and I Googled Quartet and Chesil, and I came up with about five different ways to purchase tickets. Well, looking a bit later than that at the Theatre Royal Winchester, we've got Absent Friends by Alan Ayckbourne, presented by London Classic Theatre, and that's from Thursday the 21st to Saturday the 23rd of May at 7:30 p.m. with a matinee on the Saturday the 23rd at 2:30 p.m. And also there's Romeo and Juliet by William Shakespeare, presented by the Shakespeare at the Tobacco Factory, from Tuesday the 2nd to Saturday the 6th of June. I don't have details of the timings for that, but I'll give you the box office later on. And also there is In Conversation with Michael Frayn, who's described as the author of Matchbox Theatre, 30 Short Entertainments, but he's also a very prolific English playwright, and he's on Monday the 15th of June at 6:30 p.m. Now, for further information and tickets, there's the website www.theatreroyalwinchester.co.uk, or there's the box office, which is 01962 840 440. And looking a bit further in advance to the 14th and 15th of July 2015, it's Tom Jones, wow, from The Voice. and it says 25 years of Llama Tree Festival. And this is on the border of Wilts and Dorset at the Llama Tree Gardens. And for tickets and extra information, please telephone 023 8071 1820. Let's look at the lighting up times. On Friday the 1st of May at 5:39 a.m, the lighting time ends and begins at 8:26 p.m. And then on Wednesday the 6th of May, it ends at 5:30 a.m. and begins at 8:34 p.m. If you know someone who's sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please telephone Irene Dowding on 01962 870 370. If there's a problem with your Sapphire player, please try plugging it in and recharging it before returning it as faulty. And now we're on to further items of general news, and we'll start with one read by Shirley.
This one is headed, Appeal for Home for Dumped Dog. An animal charity that rescued a family of 9 dogs that were dumped in countryside near Winchester is appealing for potential owners. The RSPCA has rehabilitated and rehomed 8 of the poodle crosses, but the hunt is still on to find an owner for Will. He is currently at Ashley Heath Animal Centre in Ringwood. Inspector Jan Edwards, who has worked with the dogs since they were discovered in January, said all Will needs is care and attention. He needs to be in a property where someone is home most of the day, with children over 8 years old, and no cats or other dogs, she said. He likes dogs, but only in a social setting. He will need ongoing veterinary support because he has a heart murmur and an ongoing related problem. He is a special boy. The family of 8 one-year-olds and their 8-year-old mother, called Kate, were found wandering rural lanes in Upham, Oslebury, Oresford, and Winchester's Morstead Road. Their fur was so badly matted they were unable to see or stand. Vets across the county worked tirelessly to remove a total of 95 kilograms of hair in procedures that took up to 3 hours per animal. At one stage, there were fears Kate would not survive. After months of tests, medication and training, 7 of the dogs are now in permanent homes, with Mavis currently living with a foster carer. Ms. Edwards added that the RSPCA is no closer to tracing who dumped the animals. Anyone who would like to rehome Will should call Ashley Heath Animal Centre on 0300 123 4999. That's 0300 123 4999.
Representatives stand up for Stanmore. More than 30 community figures have met to devise fresh ways of tackling declining public engagement in Stanmore. Representatives from schools, community groups, charities, local authorities and Winchester University met at the Stand Up for Stanmore conference on Friday, last Friday. The council estate has an increasingly transient population of students who are unlikely to engage, the meeting heard. Local engagement is so low that people from outside Stanmore have been drafted in to run the community association. Amanda Chard, a resident who recently led a student housing campaign, said locals have given up on the ability of bodies like Winchester City Council to enact change and needed something which would make them sit up. Ideas raised in group sessions included a new community hub, making preschool and homework clubs more accessible for parents, training locals in jobs and skills, and making better use of online media. Some suggested using Winchester University to raise local children's aspirations through campus visits, on-site jobs fairs, or buddy schemes with students. The meeting, attended largely by people from outside Stanmore, also heard speeches from Sarah Bird, chief executive of the Time Banking UK charity, and Ian Wilkie of Food Up Front. Rachel Aaron, chairman of Stanmore Community Association, said, "We are delighted that the workshop has been such a success. We have to take these ideas and convert them into concrete initiatives. We can only do this with the help of others." Anyone who wants to get involved can contact Ms. Aaron on 01962 827717. That's Ms. Aaron on 01962 827717.
And here we have Royal Hussars to stage Freedom Parade this summer. The King's Royal Hussars will stage a Freedom Parade in Winchester on Thursday, July the 9th. The Regiment and City Council are jointly celebrating the 300th anniversary of the Hussars. The right of freedom of entry to the city is an ancient privilege and allows a regiment to parade through Winchester with bayonets fixed, drums beating and colours flying. It comes from a period in history when only trusted units would be allowed to carry arms within city boundaries. The council awarded freedom of entry to the King's Royal Hussars in 2005. The event is over lunchtime with around 250 troops plus band marching down Peninsula Barracks down the High Street, forming up in the Broadway for inspection and then moving off around the King Alfred statue to fall out in the Guildhall Yard. There may be some small military vehicles on display in the Broadway. And this is accompanied by a photograph from 2005 of the King's Royal Hussars gaining the freedom of the city outside the Guildhall, all marching smartly, dressed in their deep rose pink-red hats and trousers with a yellow stripe down the side and their swords ready for action.
Models on catwalk in aid of hospice. It was an evening of long floral skirts, denim on denim and oversized accessories. Fashion-conscious Winchester socialites gathered at Hotel Duvan for the much-awaited House of Galais fashion show, which saw models strut their stuff, clad in neutral tones as well as flamboyant colour. It was hosted in part to help raise funds and awareness for children's hospice charity, Naomi House. Forming part of the highly celebrated Winchester Fashion Week, the event saw audience members clapping favourably at the many different designs flowing before them. Owners, mother and daughter, Joanne and Carol Galley, based in Molly's Den on Moorside Road, Winnall, said the event couldn't have gone better. A fabulous evening was had by all, and we were appreciative of all the support local Winchester businesses provided, Joanne said. People embraced the format of the evening, applauding during the fashion show and showing a real appreciation of the evening. House of Galley, a mother and daughter team, want to thank all those who participated in our Naomi House auction, which was very successful. The Hotel Duvan, Winchester, was the perfect setting for such a glamorous event.
Village Homes bid is turned down. Topfield plans fail to win over the council. Controversial plans to build up to 57 homes on a piece of Kingsworthy countryside have been turned down by Winchester City Council. Hostile opposition by residents has seen off developer Drew Smith's proposal to build on land off Hookbit Farm Lane, known as Top Field. They say the outline plans, up to 50 houses there and a further 7 off Springvale Road, with many of them at discount rents, will cause traffic congestion and strip back open space at Eversley Park. The scheme falls outside the council's local plan to build 12,500 homes in the district by 2031, including 250 in Kingsworthy, meaning Drew Smith has to prove it has local support. Kingsworthy Parish Council voted against the plans and public consultation returned a preference for other sites. Marcus Evans of Hookbit Farm Lane told last Thursday's planning committee, "All of us understand housing is needed. I've got children that need housing. We're all struggling in terms of the property situation. But as far as the people of Kingsworthy are concerned, I do think the majority of them want to preserve this as a public amenity. Most people won't understand how you can have a planning process like that and then allow something to fall completely outside of that. If we've reached our 2,250 homes, then realistically that should be the end of it for the time being." Planning officer Jill Lee said Drew Smith failed to meet another condition for making Topfield a rural exception site, providing 100% affordable housing or proof that this would be financially unviable. But Neil Holmes, the developer's planning agent, said officers failed to allow time for his client to meet the conditions and refused to negotiate a contribution of up to £438,000 towards maintenance of play areas and green space. "We asked for discussion, and on this site you have to balance the community aspirations for open space, which we support, with what the development can finance," he told the committee. "There is no point in asking a developer to give you £400,000 and 100% affordable housing. It doesn't work. If you can't start a viability process if your officers refuse." Kingsworthy is one of the most desirable villages for people on Winchester's social housing waiting list, with 115 locals in need and around 800 people listing it as a preferred destination.
And here we have Shire horses turn heads during college visit. Meet Max and Monty, two very unusual means of delivery. Wadworth Brewery's Shire horses, a towering 17 hands high, had a special day out at Sparshot College last Thursday to deliver beer barrels to its horticultural students. The barrels will feature in the college's 2015 Chelsea Flower Show garden, which is being sponsored by the Wiltshire Brewery. Student Roy Townsend said, "Although the college has an equine centre and we're very used to seeing horses, I think it's fair to say we have never seen anything at the horticultural department like the spectacle of Monty and Max. With their manes plaited, pulling the Wadworth dray, they looked stunning. It's also great to take delivery of the barrels so we can continue working on our garden for this year's Chelsea show. The barrels will provide a focal point for the garden, which tells the historic story of the hop, its uses and properties, and features two garden areas, one planted with species that make or flavour drinks, and the other a pub garden in which to relax and enjoy the drinks. 14 extended diploma horticultural students have planned, designed, and will create the garden in the RHS Discovery section of the world famous flower show, which opens to the public in May." And this is accompanied by a delightful photograph of the Wadworth Brewery Shire horses, Max and Monty, trotting along the road with their white fluffy feet and dragging the beer in barrels behind, proudly driven by a man in a bowler hat.
City can do more to reduce carbon. Winchester City Council is all talk when it comes to lowering carbon emissions, one of their own has claimed. Councillor Lucille Thompson accused it of doing little to tackle carbon emissions across the district, other than monitoring others, a cabinet meeting heard. Her claims followed a report that aims to nurture a low-carbon district. According to the report, Winchester District needs to reduce carbon emissions by 40% by 2020 as part of the national statutory target of an 80% reduction in greenhouse gases by 2050. The report also stated Winchester is behind official targets and will need to use at least 15% by renewable energy sources by the end of 2020. Councillor Thompson said, "I do welcome this paper because it shows, at last, the need to reduce the carbon emissions. This could have been written last year. The council needs to show leadership to drive that real change. All we seem to be doing is monitoring others, she added. I think we should be much more ambitious. Some months ago, the Low Carbon Board met at Eastleigh. It was a real eye-opener as to what a council can do. They had a dedicated officer to seek out potential sites to development. There is a lot that we, as a local authority, can and should be doing, but we just seem to be stuck.
Here's a nice sporting story. National glory for Westgate Quartet. It's about badminton. Westgate Performance Centre produced four champions with a strong display at the English National Badminton Series. The centre sent 23 players across the age groups, managing to medal in all groups. At under-11 level, Sam Jones won bronze in both the singles and the doubles. In the under-13s, Annie Lado won bronze in the singles, the silver in the doubles, and gold in the mixed doubles with partner Neil Bahubutu from Lancashire. Jack McGregor reached the semi-final stage in both the doubles and mixed, coming away with two bronze medals. Top seeds Libby McMorrow and Max Flynn crashed out in the quarterfinals of the mixed doubles at under-17 level, but were both crowned national champions in their respective doubles events. In the under-19 age group, Ira Banerjee won singles gold and won silver in the women's doubles. A very well-deserved and surprising duo of bronze medals came from Max and Jonty Russ in the doubles, while Kira and Lynette Ng took bronze in the women's doubles.
And now trail users take legal action over works. Campaigners are set to launch a legal offensive against £300,000 works to a Meon Valley bridleway amid growing concerns for user safety. The Meon Valley Trail User Group wants to take on civic chiefs who say they are laying a rough, dangerous surface without essential planning permission. They have hired a solicitor after raising more than £3,000 in just 3 days last weekend. It comes amid several reported sightings of cars and motorbikes illegally using the route between West Meon and Wickham. As part of the £310,000 project, which began in September, Hampshire County Council turned a section of the trail into restricted byway, formally banning motor vehicles and enshrining its long-standing use by horse riders. Martin Montague, campaign organiser, said, "Cars are going to be notoriously dangerous for all user groups, especially the more vulnerable, and that will be the disabled, the equestrian users and the cyclists. It could result in a very serious injury, and those are the same issues we will face longer term unless the surface is sorted out as well." The group has hired a solicitor at Southampton law firm, Paris Smith LLP, and hopes to force Hampshire County Council into retrospective planning application. Meanwhile, crowds are set to march through Wickham on Sunday, May the 24th, to show their opposition. But the County Council and their project partners at South Downs National Park Authority deny consent is necessary and say the new surface will benefit everyone. Campaigners hope a planning application will reopen public consultation and eventually lead to a split path with hard and soft surfaces. "People are wholeheartedly supporting it," Mr. Montague added. "I think it's fantastic." And there are two little photographs accompanying this, one of the path with three horse riders along it and the other of a car on the newly developed path driving along at West Meon.
Woman jailed after breaching sentence. An Alsford mother, whose children drowned in a bath more than 15 years ago, has been sent to prison after breaching a suspended sentence. In 1999, Lynn Brownsey, now 37, slipped and fell while taking care of 3-year-old Natasha Russell and 18-month-old Abigail Brownsey while they were being washed. Brownsey was knocked out and, after regaining consciousness, discovered they had drowned in the bath and ran screaming into the street. Winchester Crown Court heard that after the incident, she spiralled into the depths of a heroin addiction and Judge Jane Miller, QC, described the situation as tragic. At the hearing on July 25th, 2014, Judge Miller said, "I have read of the tragic events in your life, and it was that which caused you to go into drug use. But you and your partner allowed your house for drug supply. Of course, it was the only way you could get the drugs, but that's no excuse." At Winchester Crown Court, she pleaded guilty to breaching the sentence after failing to attend drug rehabilitation appointments on three occasions and was given a six-month sentence. Brownsea had allowed her flat in Popley, Basingstoke, to be used by heroin dealers from London and was given a 15-month suspended sentence last July after pleading guilty to supplying heroin and allowing her house to be used to deal drugs. An inquest into the deaths of Brownsea's children heard that after she ran from her flat in Windsor Road, Oxford, passers-by tried in vain to revive the girls, and accidental death verdicts were recorded. She told the Winchester inquest, "I think I slipped on the floor and hit my head on the edge of the bath. Abigail might have slipped, and Natasha tried to help her, or she had tried to get out. I don't know."
Mascot leads the way to road safety. Adorned in high-vis jackets and light-hearted smiles, Winchester school children have been learning about the importance of road safety. Winnall Primary School pupils and staff welcomed property services company Osborne, which launched a new campaign aimed at improving safer driving around the residential parts of the city. Outside Your School has been launched in connection with UK Road Safety, seeing pupils march confidently across roads with the help of the Osborne mascot. Osborne's external communications manager, Kate Wood, said the idea behind the newly designed Osborne mascot is to create a character that engages with and works in the communities in which we work. We are sponsoring this campaign to increase the awareness of safer driving in and around the Winchester area. And in case you don't know what the Osborne mascot is, there's a lovely big picture of the school children in their yellow high-vis jackets, all looking, laughing at this mascot, which is a female person with a high-vis jacket and safety boots and a huge head with a smiley face and big eyes and a safety helmet on the top.
And here we have school nears planning stage, primary plans to go on show to public. The planning application for a new school at a 2,000-home development near Winchester could be submitted in the next month. Details of the 420-place primary school at Barton Farm were on show at a public drop-in session last Wednesday. It will include 5 teaching blocks, a hall, sports pitch and playing field, teachers' facility, staff car park, hard and soft play areas, as well as photovoltaic panels on the roof as part of a renewable energy source. Hampshire County Council officers and representatives from the University of Winchester, which is sponsoring the academy, discussed the proposals. A virtual Minecraft projection on a screen showed how the school would look from different angles. Martin Hallam, a design manager in the County Council's Property Services Department, said it was hoped that plans would be submitted in the next 2 to 4 weeks, depending on the responses received from the drop-in session. He added, "We are working with Carla Holmes, Barton Farm developer, very hard to make sure this school supports the development, but also that the development supports the school. The two-form entry academy is due to be completed for September 2017 academic year." And this is accompanied by a map of Barton Farm and showing the placement of the school within that development.
Blackmail claim over felling of oak. Winchester planners have been blackmailed into approving the felling of a protected tree in order to avoid up to £90,000 in compensation payouts, a meeting heard. an 18-metre-tall oak in Colden Common, which damaged a resident's conservatory, is set to be cut down, despite warnings of its importance to wildlife and rural character. One councillor warned the decision would open the floodgates for trees to go down all over the district. The Hesselwoods of Scots Close say the tree has caused tens of thousands of pounds in damage to their foundations. Winchester City Council would be liable for damages because they rejected the previous felling application last year, the planning committee heard. Councillors approved the plans in order to avoid a compensation claim, which independent advisers said would be in the region of £90,000. I don't think there'd be any other justification, tree officer Thomas Gregory, who recommended felling, told last Thursday's meeting. Councillor Jane Rutter said approval would set a precedent for other landowners who could threaten compensation claims if their trees were protected. The tree was there for a long time before the conservatory, she said. Colden Common Parish Council strongly objected to the plans. Councillor Pam Glasspool said the tree's foundations were weakened by the conservatory, which has doubled in size from plans approved in 2001. She told the meeting, "This oak tree forms part of the important rural street scene of the old Veers Lane Main Road junction and provides a leafy green screen from modern development. The natural ecology of this remaining oak tree and the wildlife corridor it is such a vital part of includes many protected species of English wildlife, including bats, birds, bees and butterflies that are dependent on this native oak for shelter and safe passage." Mr. Gregory estimated the semi-mature oak to be around 80 years old. The Hesselwoods were not at the meeting.
Fundraising feast. With ivy-garlanded tables, smiling jesters and traditional hats adorning every head, Winchester residents gathered for an evening of archaic entertainment. The medieval banquet held at the Great Hall last Saturday was the culmination of the Mayor of Winchester's fundraising events over the last 12 months. Councillor Eileen Berry, the city's 815th mayor, was surrounded by friends and well-wishers to enjoy a spot of ball juggling and knife-throwing while enjoying a three-course hog roast. Grace was sung in Latin before the harpsichord was played, and the jesters cavorted before the mayor's guests. City and county councillors were mesmerised by singers striking medieval notes which filled the stained-glass windowed hall beneath the iconic round table. Councillor Berry said, "This building deserves the wonderful people that have supported this event. This hasn't been easy to achieve. My committee has worked tirelessly and I can't praise them enough. I have worked behind the scenes, but they have worked non-stop to arrange this beautiful venue. I have tried to raise awareness as far as I could, and I think I've done a bit to help my charities with the wonderful support from all these people. I've got to thank the head of Hampshire County Council, Roy Perry, Nick Bell, Ronnie Davis, actor, and compere Ian Steele, and the choreographer, Sonia Carver." And there are two pictures. There's pictures of Anne Pearson, Frank Pearson, with Janet and Mike Reed looking smart in their dinner jackets and evening dress. And below, a picture of Joyce Smith and Joy Reynolds, two, shall we say, senior ladies, both wearing beautiful medieval costumes.
And here we have woman in verbal attack on election candidate. Church packed out for question and answer session. An election meeting in Winchester was disrupted when a member of the public verbally attacked one of the candidates. Other people in the audience called for the woman to be removed from the hustings after she launched a scathing attack on one of the candidates. Police were called to United Church in Jury Street on Tuesday evening when the woman released a torrent of abuse towards Conservative candidate Steve Brine. She claimed he had been intimidating and bullying, but it was unclear over what issue. It is not thought any arrests were made by the police officers. Mr. Brine's attempt to answer her was met with a barrage of abuse from the woman, which was soon interrupted by the chairman, the Bishop of Winchester, the Right Reverend Tim Dakin. He was joined by several calls from the audience asking for her to go home or sit down. After the meeting, Mr. Brine declined to discuss the woman except to say he was in legal dispute with her. The five candidates answered questions at the packed-out church, ranging from EU corruption to trade deals, homelessness and taxes. Some people were turned away through lack of space. The most contentious questions drew on concerns about jobs, the lack of affordable housing and the NHS. Mr. Brine said the number of claimants applying for Job Seekers Allowance had fallen by 67% across the constituency since 2010. He urged voters to re-elect the Conservatives on May the 7th so they could finish what was started. Do we value one of the fastest growing economies? Do we finish what we began? Or do we go back to square one? He asked. But Labour candidate Mark Challoner challenged this, saying more needed to be done to support people in low-wage jobs. 14% of Winchester are earning under the living wage, he said. They currently work between 40 to 60-hour weeks, but they can't really afford to live. Green candidate Michael Wilkes said unless more was done to attract younger people, Winchester would become a fossilised Disneyland. Winchester is the second most expensive place in the country to live after Oxford. Martin Lyon of UKIP said, thousands of houses are being built that people won't be able to buy, and don't talk about local plan. I thought it was all about community, but apparently one inspector, one man, can come in and overturn any community decision about housing. Liberal Democrat Jackie Porter called for more flexibility in affordable rents, adding, so many people can't leave home because they can't get something affordable, and we need to give people that flexibility to move around for jobs. Some 60 to 70 questions have been received before the meeting and boiled down to just 9, Mr. Dakin said. And there is a photograph of the large hall in the United Church in Jury Street, completely packed with people asking questions to the team of candidates ahead of them.
Bowl will serve up finest fare. The home of Hampshire cricket will soon be home to some of the county's finest produce, too. The Ageas Bowl has signed a new corporate partnership with Hampshire Fair, marked with an event at Chewton Glen Hotel in New Milton, which will see the two organisations collaborate on a number of activities over the coming year. The first few big events will see fair markets at the ground on May 15th, 22nd and July 25th for the 2015 NatWest T20 Blast campaign. Led by 24-year-old T20 captain James Vince, Hampshire will be looking to reach a record 6th consecutive T20 finals day this season. Tracy Fair, commercial manager of Hampshire Fair, said, "We feel it is very fitting that Hampshire Cricket and Hampshire Fair are working together as they both represent a core part of Hampshire's heritage. We are particularly excited for our members that a new audience will become aware of the quality and abundance of Hampshire food and drink through this series of match day markets. The market at the Ageas Bowl on July 25th will be a special festival market as part of the award-winning Hampshire Food Festival, which is organised by Hampshire Fair and runs throughout July. Hampshire Cricket Commercial Director Stuart Robertson added, "We are very proud to represent Hampshire in a sporting context and are now delighted to be able to showcase the world-class produce of the county's farmers and producers at our NatWest T20 Blast matches."
Award for City Chocolatiers. A chocolate manufacturer with premises in Winchester has won a national award. Handmade chocolate makers Chococo in the High Street took home first prize for the best filled chocolate alcohol category in this year's Academy of Chocolate Awards. It was presented by judges for their Totally Twisted Nose, a gin and watercress paste chocolate using the Winnell produced spirit, which was launched in time for Chocolate Week last year. And I have to say, I was in there yesterday. And the coffee is really nice and the chocolate is delicious.
And here we have homeless people go back to college. Homeless people in Winchester have gone back to school to qualify in construction with the help of Eastleigh College. Residents from Winchester Church's night shelter attended a training session in the Construction Skills Certification Scheme. Five residents took part in the three-day course, which aims to help in training, qualification and experience for working on a construction site. Michelle Price, night shelter manager, said, "Our aim is to help our residents escape homelessness for good by offering them vital support and equipping them with valuable life skills while they are staying with us. We're indebted to Eastleigh College for providing this fantastic opportunity and hope that it will improve the employment prospects for the residents who took part."
Firefighter joins mission in Nepal. Winchester firefighter Jim Hutchin is in Nepal with a Hampshire rescue team battling to save lives after the earthquake. Fundraising appeals have sprung up across Hampshire to help people affected by last weekend's devastating earthquake. People across the county spent days trying to get in touch with friends and family who were in the region when the 7.8 magnitude earthquake struck. Peter Simmons College student Beth Halford helped to raise more than £2,500 in 24 hours for her charity, the Himalayan People's Project. She had been in a cafe in capital city Kathmandu at the time of Saturday's quake, which caused the walls to crumble, but she escaped with just cuts and bruises. The UK Nepal Friendship Society, the Eastleigh Gurkha and Nepalese Association, Nepalese Help and Regal Trust have all also launched appeals.
Marathon man pleased to get round at all. Former Chronicle sports editor Ian Henderson has shown that despite a 33-year hiatus, he has only lost a bit of pace. Ian, 68, competed in his first London Marathon since 1982 and finished in a respectable 6 hours and 30 minutes. He told Belgarum, "It was very cold, but I raised £3,500 for Cancer Research UK. You really need 6 months training, and I only had three, so I was pleased to get round at all." And there is a lovely picture of Ian, still obviously in action. He's looking pretty tired, but actually looks pretty fit for 68.
And there will be a street party for the anniversary. One Winchester street will be holding a party to mark the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II. The Chronicle reported that no applications had been made for permission for street closures to mark VE Day. In fact, the paper was misinformed by the council. Edgar Road is staging the party on Saturday, May the 9th, between 2 p.m. and 5 p.m.
British Legion marks 90th anniversary. Women in Winchester are this weekend marking 90 years in the Royal British Legion. The group's female section will be celebrating on Sunday at St Barnabas Church in Week with a special service at 2:30 p.m. Tea will be served in the hall shortly after.
Here's one for our younger listeners. New Sport Research Centre at University. Staff and students have celebrated the opening of a new research centre dedicated to sport and exercise at the University of Winchester. The new hub promotes innovative research into sport science, aiming to attract a high calibre of specialists, as well as acting as a focal point for studies. Dr. Stuart Cotterill, head of the Department of Sport and Exercise, said, "The new centre offers an excellent opportunity to engage local, regional, national and international communities in high-quality, impactful research that makes a real difference, not only to the sporting world, but also to the global understanding of the complex issues surrounding health and well-being."
And on that note, I'm afraid that that's the last item that we've got for this week. Thank you to our editors, Bill Argles and Irene Dowding, and thanks to our copying and dispatch and memory stick preparation team. And, of course, thanks to our readers. Bye-bye to Shirley Parnell.
Goodbye.
Goodbye to Noel Thorpe Tracy.
Goodbye.
And goodbye to Jane Harding.
Goodbye.
And from me, Roy Faithful, thank you for listening. Goodbye for now, and I hope you have an enjoyable week ahead. When you've finished with this week's recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet with a laminated card, and please place the address label inside the wallet too, and return the wallet as soon as possible. Thank you, and goodbye again.